Okay, new fanfic idea. Or this will probably turn into a not fic. Fandom is Supergirl, with possible crossovers into the Flash, Legends, Arrow part of that universe, since they are sort of part of the same universe, different dimensions of the same universe. Anyway. A part of me wants to treat this like a case fic, like an episode. And it is sort of like an episode because we had that one, we've had Supergirl. I'm getting ahead of myself. Premise, summary. Supergirl and the DEO get a distress signal, get a call from McGann on Mars that she and a group of green Martian like refugees need help escaping the planet. Things are not going well over there. McGann managed to get this message back to them, but their plan to get these refugees off planet has fallen apart. Jean wants to go, but being a green Martian, the minute he steps onto the planet, he's caught. Kara, you gotta keep in mind that the Martians are all shapeshifters. So having someone walk around in a certain skin, not all that weird. I mean, they can look like whatever the fuck they want, so they do. This will come up later, I think. So basically, Supergirl can go undercover, kind of. She can survive on Mars. She, being a Kryptonian, and being, all she really needs is the yellow sun. And this is still in our solar system. We don't have to worry about red sun. Don't have to worry about kryptonite, even. Because chances are that somehow kryptonite made it to Mars is even smaller possibility than some made it to Earth. And anyway, I'm not going to get into the kryptonite thing right now because that is something that... Anyway. She can survive on Mars with the different atmosphere there. Martians are all shapeshifters, so she could potentially walk down the street as one of them and nobody would care. She'd just oh, you look like a human today. Okay. Especially if she was in an area where there's more of an alien population, which is an idea I might go with, but hang on. The other thing is that Martians are all telepaths, and that's something that they have to get around. They get this distress signal from McGann, and they immediately start planning the rescue mission. Kara is yeah, I'm on the boat. Let's, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go save her. I'm gonna go save these people. Just because I protect this one town, just because I protect one planet, doesn't mean I can't go and help people on another planet. Clark would do it. All of that. For, hand-wavy reasons, they can't call in Clark. That at least one of them needs to stay on Earth. And Supergirl is the one who's been working with the DEO. They need the DEO, technology to make this work. It just makes more sense for her to be the one to go. And besides, she knows McGann, and McGann knows her. So they outfit Kara with some hand-wavy telepath masking device that will make her seem like white noise. Make her seem just like like any other face in the crowd. It will mask her presence, but not... It will basically say, these are not the droids you're looking for. This is not the Supergirl you're looking for. Too much scrutiny, and she will be noticed. She will draw, like, basically, mandate is do not draw attention to yourself. So, how do they get her to Mars? Supergirl has a spaceship. I'm going to assume it still works, because they never explicitly said that it didn't. By that logic, Clark has a spaceship that probably still works. We're going to go with the Superman animated series version here, where their ships actually landed. They managed to make it in through the atmosphere and everything and landed properly, not like digging into the ground. No crash landings here. And, I mean, that's not even considering the fact that there is a major alien population, apparently. Which means there have to be spaceships coming and going at semi-regular intervals. Even without, like, I bet there's a whole branch of the DEO dedicated to people going, oh, you stopped off to see your cousin who lives in Metropolis. So-and-so needs a refueling of such-and-such spaceship. You're a Daxamite from... Or not a Daxamite, because we've already dealt with Daxamites, but you're from... I don't know, what's another planet? And I'm coming up blank. Some other planet. Whatever. There's a bunch of aliens and alien planets out there in the DCU. Pick one. They show up, and they're like, yeah, we brought you some fruit. We brought you a care package. We... So-and-so wanted to go on vacation. Like, there's probably this whole... like, department within the DEO, just handling people who do, like, aliens who do routine alien, like, drop-off and pick-up and handle, like, oh yeah, so-and-so has a launch this whenever, this evening. There are spaceships. There are spaceships. And that's not even considering the point, like, the fact that they now have teleport technology. But the teleporting technology, it's... So far it's been used for super long range stuff, and I like to keep it there. Like, not only do you have to build these great big arches and stuff, but Mars is just next door. And yeah, if they had a reason to go to Mars on the regular... then, yeah, build a teleporting gate. That would make sense. But, seeing as there's a war on in Mars, we don't want to build a teleporting gate so that they can invade us. So, yeah. Spaceship. So, they find Kara a spaceship, and they hook her up with all the equipment, and, like, maybe it's a smuggler ship. Or, like, this is a ship that would be going, like, happens to pass by Mars on the way out of the system, and they were like, yeah, we can drop you off, we can do a favor for the DEO in exchange for future considerations, yeah, we can do this. So they take her, except, like, something happens on the way to Mars, because... something always happens. Building tension. And the plan was to set Kara down in a relatively, like, alien-friendly zone. Have her make quiet contact with McGann. Get the, like, assess the situation. And then she would be able to send up a signal and contact the DEO, and they would either send in like a strike team, or in, say, 5 days, or, you know, some short period, the ship will loop back around and pick her up. And pick her and whoever is with her up. But something happens. When they're about to get to Mars, there's an attack, there's the something with the war, there's an explosion, there's something blows up, and Kara, the ship that Kara is in, is like, nope, we are not landing. We are not landing here. You can sit here. We'll be back to Earth. You can stay here with us. We're going to loop around. We're going to head over to, you know, Centauri 2, and then we'll be back to Earth in a week. And that's whatever. That's what we're going to do. And Kara is like, screw that. I'm not going to leave my friend down there. And she jumps out of the spaceship. Now, she has never done this before, but Superman's done it before. She knows that she can survive re-entry, in theory. But yeah, she, like, dives from space and wraps her cape around her and, like, flames all around her, and the explosions actually mask her descent, because otherwise people would have noticed this giant streak of, well, not giant, but this streak of light landing in the Martian equivalent of a field. Problem is, she is nowhere near where she thought she was going to be. She still has her equipment. Her costume, it's not her standard costume. Like, she has her red cape, but, like, otherwise, it's a bodysuit. Maybe pull something from the Power Girl, or the, pull something from the comics. But she's got, like, maybe this, either a full-on white bodysuit or a full-on black bodysuit, or you could do, like, if she's got the red cape, then make it a blue bodysuit. Like, maybe if it's white, it can be solar absorbent. Yeah, so she's nowhere near where she thought she was gonna be. And here's where, like, the idea gets a bit fuzzy, because I know certain things have to happen, but I don't know the order or, like, the characters, because there are no established characters from Mars other than Jaan and McGann. So, playtime. At first, she goes to ground. She has to figure out where she is. She has to figure out who she can trust. The green Martians and the white Martians, they have separate societies to a point. I mean, the green Martians are oppressed heavily, but not all of them are outright enslaved, and there are resistance pockets and all of that stuff. So she's, a part of her is like, if I can find some green Martians, I can get them to trust me. She finds combat before she finds any green Martians. She finds either someone trying to blow something else up, or she finds someone running from the big explosion. Like, this is a resistance team that just blew up a spaceport, basically, because, I mean, she was going to land there, but
she didn't land there because, yeah. And she, like, oh, how deep into the resistance do I want to get? She helps them, helps fight them off, or maybe she, like, helps fight off the White Martians, of course. And it's intense. Whatever, she tries to help the Green Martians. But, like, she's, okay, she is used to fighting aliens. She's not used to fighting humans, but most of the people she does, most of the people she does fight are weaker than her. She's one of the strongest people on Earth. And just because Jean and McGann are also, like, super strong, I mean, she didn't take that into consideration. She's fighting in her own weight class for once, and it's off-putting. She can't take out a dozen of these fighters because all of them are as strong as her. Now, she can hold her own against them, but only for so long. But here's the thing. She has a few things that they don't. The telepathy and the shapeshifting, they have those advantages. She has the advantages of long-range attacks, because freeze breath and heat vision. Also flight. They can't fly. Oh, no, wait. Martians can fly. Never mind. They can all fly. But yeah, long-range attacks. So maybe that's how she gets away. That she's all, like, prepared to, like, okay, I've found the resistance. I can go and meet up with them and talk with them about all the things and figure out where I am, and I've got a new plan. And then she goes in and she starts fighting and she's overwhelmed, and so she, like, backs up. Flies back. You know, they're all flying at this point. But she puts some distance between herself and them, and she lights it up with the heat vision and with the freeze breath. And one, that gets a lot of attention. Because so far, nobody really realized that she wasn't just another Green Martian resistance person. But the minute she lights it up with the heat vision and the freeze breath and, like, everybody's like, what the fuck? But the whole fire thing. Okay. Fire is Jean's weakness. That's established in the comics. That's established, in the show as well. But is it the weakness of the entire Martian race? Is it the weakness of just the Green Martians and not the White Martians? Or is it just his psychological weakness because he saw his family burned to death? I've read stories where it could go either way. I'm not sure what the comics say about it at the moment, what the current comic canon is. It would be easier at this point if the fear of fire was more of a genetic predisposition, because if she manages to set one of the Martians on fire, then all of them are just going to panic. The Greens and the Whites, they're just going to panic. She manages to get away, but she loses the Greens. Like, they start shapeshifting, and she can't catch them. She can't track them. They all know where their friends are because of the telepathy thing.
but none of them have reached out to her. They just saw her fry a guy alive. So they're not too... I mean, even if he was an enemy, there's no... They don't know who she is any more than, like, the whites do. So at this point, they're cutting their losses and taking what they can get, and they run and they hide, and she loses them, and then... But she also manages to lose the whites. So she is now even more lost on an alien planet, alone. I'm picturing this in, like, some kind of slum district, not out in the middle of the, you know, wilderness. She's in a cityscape. And she does enough, she knows enough at this point to, like, change her own appearance as much as she can. She maybe pulls out her glasses, she changes her hair, she, does something with her cape, she tries to... They now know, the whites that attacked them, now know what she looks like. And they probably won't actually look for someone that looks like her, because Martians are shapeshifters. This is a different paradigm to them. They don't look for someone who looks like something, because the minute somebody says, oh, that guy has such and such feature, that guy has brown hair, all of a sudden the guy shapeshifts, and no, he doesn't. So they don't pay attention to what people look like. But Kara does. And so her instinct is to change what she looks like. So Kara, someone was watching all of this. And it's a kid. Like, I know it's cliche, but like, some kid saw her blast the white Martians. This is a green Martian kid. Saw her blast the white Martians, and she hides, and the kid is like, I saw what you did. And she's like, please don't tell anyone. And the kid, like, shakes his head. And, okay, language, not a problem. They're all telepaths. Like, the first thing the kid says is in Martian, and then she's like, I don't speak Martian, and the kid immediately reaches out mentally. In fact, maybe he reaches out mentally first, and she's like, you're in my head, and he's like, you're not Martian, and she's like, nope, but I'm here to help you. And she's like... You look green at the moment. Please actually be a green Martian. I'm here to help the green Martians. I really hope you're not... Oh. And she kind of realizes this only after the fact, and she's like, oh, right. I should probably... But she was lucky that this kid is, in fact, a green Martian, and he takes her, and he takes her home. Because it's just too cute. I know, it's cliche. But it's cute. So, he takes her hand and he, like, smuggles her home. And his Martian parents proceed to freak out. Like, quietly freak out. They are very worried. They know what happened at the spaceport. They know about the big, fight that happened afterwards. They know that the white Martians are now, like, have a manhunt going for all the rebellion people, and they want to help the rebellion, they really do, but they have a child to look after, at least one, possibly more. They just want to keep their heads down. They don't want to go to the camps. The minute they step out of line, they'll end up in the camps, and
And their kid is young enough to be, like, oblivious to most of this. But they are not. And so, Kara, like, Kara sees their fear. Kara sees what they're living. Like, this is where the story gets dark. And this is where I can't write it. I don't have the experiences to write this. It is... These people are living in a terrible, oppressive, like, regime. They are, like, they are constantly living in fear. They have nothing. They have no water. They have no, like, electricity isn't even a thing. They can't give her any food because they don't have any themselves. Like, this is poverty on the worst levels, but also it's a war zone. They are... I don't have the experiences to properly write this part of the story. It's dark. It's terrible. She sees things that she, being a hero, really wants to fix, and she knows that she can't. Because this isn't a matter of just taking down the local despot. This isn't the matter of, like, even teaching them how to resist. They're already resisting. There is a resistance. She could stay on Mars and help the resistance for the rest of her life. And she's a Kryptonian. That's going to be a hell of a long life. Unless she died. But, like, she could pour her life out into helping these people, and it still would not be enough. And these people, they turn her away. They say they're sorry, and they give her the information that she needs, but she can't stay. Like, the White Martians are already hunting her. They won't tell that she was there, but they can't risk. If she was found with them, not only would they all die, but their neighbors would die, their family would die, and it would be a slow and painful death, and they can't. And she understands this, and she accepts this, and she thanks them for what little information they can give, and she takes her leave, because she has to. There is no other choice at this point. She needs to find McGann. She needs to focus on her mission. If she can help even a few people, she wants to help everyone, but she can't. So she has to try to help the few people that she can. And that means finding McGann. That means getting back to the plan, making contact with the DEO. That means all of that. So, so she goes and she hides, and maybe the family can give her a set of clothes, because she's, again, trying to stay undercover, and she thinks about people changing their looks, and she was trying to blend in, and even, like, at least half of the population looks like their normal white or green form. Yeah, they can shapeshift, but everyone's comfortable in their own skin, so...
her having, like, her obviously human skin tone and, well, obviously Kryptonian skin tone, but basically human, and her blonde curls, that's going to stand out no matter. So she maybe gets a change of clothes and she's got, like, a headscarf around her, like, to mask her hair. And she sleeps on the street for, like, a couple of hours, maybe. She is running. She's hiding from patrols. She tries, like, there's an old tower or an old silo or something. Like, I'm picturing that half of Martian society is underground, but at least a good, like, at least a portion of it is above ground. So there's this thing, and it's up above ground, which not a lot of Martians actually spend a lot of time above ground. So this tower or cliff or silo or whatever is deserted most of the time. And that's where she was supposed to meet McGann, or that's where she was supposed to get a message from McGann. If she can get to the tower, she can, like, send her signal to the DEO, because it's a really high point. There will either be someone there who can lead her to McGann, or there will be, like, maybe some paint on the walls that's actually in English, because, hey, telepathy gets you language. It does not get you writing. So anything written down in Martian, Kara cannot read. Anything written down in English, Martians cannot read. Or the average Martian, you have to study it. And hey, a good portion of Martians might study English, or, you know, any of the human Earth languages. Not many of them study Kryptonian. That's a pretty, like, diverse, that's a pretty small percentage there. So, Kara goes, and she goes up to the top of this tower, and she sends her message to the DEO. And it's going to take something 12 minutes? It's going to take some amount of time. Like, I can't remember how long it's supposed to take for a message to get from Mars to Earth. But it takes a certain amount of time. And I think it depends on, like, where the two planets are in their rotation. So I can fudge it a bit. But it's going to take 15 to 20 minutes for a message to get to the DEO. And then then they have to decrypt the message, because of course you have to encrypt it. And they have to decide what to do and then send a message back. So this is going to take over half an hour, upwards of an hour, like up to an hour. Kara manages to send her message, and then she's sitting around waiting, and maybe she's like, no, here, but, so she's sitting around waiting for her response, and she hears someone coming. Yay, super senses! Can't remember if the Martians have super senses. I'm gonna say they don't. Or at least not to Kara's extent. She hears them coming before they recognize that she is there. So she scrawls something on the wall in Kryptonian, or possibly English, but, you know, definitely a language that not everybody is gonna be able to understand. And this tower is covered in graffiti. Like, it's gonna blend right in. Except for it's new and most of the graffiti is old. And so she hides. She just, like, runs, finds a place to hide. Maybe she's, like, floating on the outside of the tower when they're inside, except that doesn't work because everyone can fly. So, she, like, zips away after leaving her message, and she's kind of paying attention to what's going on back in the tower, and it's, like, these couple of, like, guards. It's a patrol that they're not necessarily looking for her, except everybody is looking for her by this point. And she is about to leave. Like, she is like, great, I won't be back here to, I need to get the response, but these guys aren't leaving. I need to leave before they notice me. She's like, she's about to leave when one of them notices, like, the paint that she, like, daubed on the wall. The Martian breaks form. Like, they are the soldier Martians. Like, they're big, broad shoulders, weapons of some kind, marching when they're not flying. But one of them breaks form and goes to the wall and kind of, like, puts a hand up and kind of squints at it, and then turns to the other one, and there's clearly some telepathic communication going on here. And the first one looks around a little bit, and it's McGann. She transforms. She either, like, first she makes sure the coast is clear. Like, she's gonna make sure that there aren't any actual patrols looking around, before she reveals herself. But she transforms back into McGann, or her green Martian McGann form. Like, that's where she's actually comfortable in. She was in a white Martian form before, because, yeah. But now she transforms into her green Martian form, and she kind of tells off the other, like, fake soldier, either in Martian or telepathically. But there's, like, a finger pointing and, like, a hand waving at the wall, and then she takes out some chalk or some paint or something, and she starts to write a reply. And Kara, at this point, is like, oh, thank God, my friend. And she doesn't, like, I mean, logically, she should wait to make sure it really is McGann. But she just runs up and hugs her. Or flies up and hugs her. And McGann is like, oh, thank God, Kara. We got your signal that you were coming, but then the explosion and everything, we didn't know that, like, you know, we didn't know when you were coming, we heard too late, it was the spaceport, and yada, yada, yada. And Kara's like, yes, I know, I'm so happy to see you, what can I do to help? Turns out, the Resistance wasn't the ones who blew up the spaceport. They had heard that some of these refugees were trying to leave, and they set a trap, or they, like, blew up the ship that was supposed to be helping them. They have no way off the planet. Kara still has, like, the ship that she was on should circle back in another few days. But they don't have any shuttle to get the people, the refugees, onto the spacecraft, because not everyone can survive, like, shooting through the atmosphere like that. And I can't remember if Martians can survive in space. I still don't understand why Kryptonians can survive in space, to be honest, but that's in the comics, so I'm just gonna roll with it. So McGann takes Kara back to their secret hideout. The other white Martian is also part of the The other white Martian guard person is also part of the resistance, but he is not all... He's not happy to see Kara. He doesn't trust her. He, frankly, doesn't trust McGann all that much because she left. And sure, maybe she's come back, but maybe it's all a trick. And so McGann doesn't actually have all that high a standing in the resistance. A few people trust her, and a few people, like, thank her for her help, but it's not like she's some great savior that returned from far distant lands, yada yada. But McGann does know where these refugees are, and where they are going to be, and... I mean, they don't... The resistance doesn't have a plan at this point. Their resistance just got stopped. Or their plan just got stopped. They're busy regrouping. They're... Like, these refugees, it's important to get them off planet. It's important to get them somewhere safe. But really, they don't have the resources. They're trying to... hide people, they're trying to, like, attack vulnerable targets, and this is guerrilla warfare, and it's... And again, it's not pretty. These people don't have... They don't have really anything. They're fighting just to survive. And if I was to write this, it would end up being totally inaccurate, and also, like a million other TV interpretations, these people are desperate. If Kara wants to try something, some of them are desperate enough that they might follow her. Others are desperate enough that they wouldn't trust her. That they get the signal back from the DEO. They have something. They have a plan, but it doesn't have a high chance. It doesn't have great odds. They can make sure that the ship is back in orbit. They can get a shuttle, but getting it from orbit down to where the resistance is staying, and then loading up these people and getting them all off planet without being noticed? Not likely. I mean, they can try, but a lot of people are going to end up dead. And, like, they have an exit strategy for Kara that she can... Like, her personal ship, they can set it to autopilot, and they can send it into Martian orbit, and she can fly up, and because it's Kryptonian, it'll only work for Kryptonians, the biometrics, yada yada, and, like, so she could take it home. It's maybe even big enough for two that McGann could come if she wanted. Or if there was one refugee that managed to survive getting up to orbit. But Kara refuses. She's not going to leave these people like this. She promised to help them. She promised to do everything she could. There's a mission. There's a chance. There's another shuttle. And the resistance... had decided not to try to steal this shuttle because it was too risky. That, like, the shuttle that they had been after before was at a less secure location. And it was run down, and it was... There was a better chance of them stealing it. Or a better chance of them, like... So there's another shuttle that they could go after. Kara says that she'll go get it. She's already asking these Martian resistance leaders, like, okay, why don't we just go get it? And they're like, we can't. It was already in a more secured location. The fact that they found us going after this first shuttle means that any other shuttle that we could possibly use is now triple security. They know what we want. The minute we make a move, they'll be down on our heads. And so Kara's like, then I'll go get it. And McGann is like, no, you can't pilot one of these shuttles anyway. And she's like, I'm coming too. And so McGann and Kara head out and they try to steal this shuttle. And it's very sneaky at first. And McGann, like, there's this awkward moment before they leave when McGann is like, hey, Kara, I mean, you know I'm a white Martian, but here that's a big deal, and I'm going to have to be in my white Martian form a lot. And, like, Kara brushes it aside that, like, I know you are, like, you're my friend, no matter what you look like, kind of deal, but her white Martian form is kind of scary. And there is a moment that, like, when McGann first transforms, it's like, oh, right, I forgot that is what you actually look like. That's, but Kara pushes it down and they move forward and so McGann, like, does a bit of sneaking up and, like, talks to the guards and tries to, like, and here's the thing. No one can see Kara. I mean, even in this community of shapeshifters, in a secure location like this, anyone who looks out of place is going to be questioned. So having her look human, even if she doesn't look green Martian, it's going to raise some flags. And she's also got that psychic dampener. So, and she's still got it. I mean, they've been, maybe she, like, took it out to communicate with people. But she's got this psychic dampener but she still got it. And so now she puts it to use. And while McGann is, like, up at the front gates, distracting the guards, getting, like, trying to get, like, paperwork. She's not flirting with the guards. She's demanding paperwork, or she's, like, filling out paperwork. Because bureaucracy is universal. And Kara manages to slip through the gates, or slip, like, or through the fence, gets to the shuttle that they need, and she can't fly it, but she can, like, disable the, like, locking clamps that, like, they need to, like, say this thing is locked down. And they need to destroy the landing clamps that'll keep it in place. So she goes ahead and, like, destroys these clamps because, yay, super strength. And then she zips around to the other side of the compound and lights a fire because, yay, heat vision. And this attracts a lot of attention, naturally. Fires always do. Enough attention that McGann is able to, like, transform into some small creature, not a mouse, because mice are from Earth, but some creature like that. That's a question. Do the Martians maintain their mass when they transform, when they shift? How does that work? Mass and density and... I am not going to try to figure out mass and density right now. Anyway, she transforms into something small and inconspicuous. Sneaks into the shuttle. Like, powers it up. And starts to fly off with it. Kara is off on the other side of this compound. And she is now being chased by basically everyone. They now know her face. They now know that she is not a Martian straight out. She, cannot transform. She is strong like a Martian. She can fly like a Martian. They're hammering at her psychic dampener here. They, like occasionally she'll, it's causing a bunch of headaches. It's causing her to, like, she can't fly straight, she's, but they can't actually control her. Like, if she didn't have the psychic dampener, they could flat out take over her brain and put her into a coma or, like, play her like a puppet, but they can't. They can just make it really painful for her to try to resist them. So, McGann manages to get away with this shuttle, and Kara is trying to get away, and she thinks she does get away, but there's secretly either a small squad has managed to follow her, or one of them has transformed and latched onto her cape as another of these small furry creatures, that she does not notice. So they head back, and this isn't the main compound for the resistance. This is a shelter where the refugees were being kept temporarily. And McGann has the shuttle, and they're, like, loading up the shuttle, and Kara comes flying in, and she goes, I think I got away. I think, and she's out of breath, and she's worried, but she's also really stressed out, and she doesn't notice this guy has followed her until it's too late, and he either untransforms or, like, the little squad that has been following her, like, reveals themselves and starts shooting people, and McGann and Kara try to fight them off again, but they call for backup, and there's no chance here, there's nowhere they can run to, they're boxed in, they manage to get the refugees into the shuttle, but they can't take off, they're just using it as cover. And Kara is, like, beating herself up because she's the one who led them back. And she's, like, trying to take a breather. She's been fighting all afternoon now. She is exhausted. They need a way out. They're pinned down. She and McGann are in the shuttle, and the rest of the refugees are just, like, huddling under their seats, waiting for McGann and her to come up with a plan, because none of them are fighters. Hell, half of them are, like, children. And this is when... See, a part of me wants to say that they get the return message from Earth right now, because that would be convenient timing, but that's already happened. They've already got the return message, so it would have to be another message, and that's just more, not doesn't work. But Kara, maybe her uniform is ripped. Yeah, let's go with that. The clothing that she took from the first family is now torn up. So she, like, discards this extra set of clothing. She's been wearing her suit under it the whole time. And so she, like, discards this extra clothing and she's, like, getting herself situated because there's nothing else to do and she needs something to do right now. She needs to do something, even if it's just, like, change her uniform. And she's patting at the pockets of her cape or her... She doesn't have a utility belt, but she really should. And she finds... Oh, what's this? And, like, she remembers Wynn hugging her right before she left. And she's like, just in case. And it's this, it's the dimension hopper that she got from Cisco. And she just, like, stares at it for a minute. And McGann is like, what's that? Is it gonna save us? And Kara's like, well, maybe it can open dimensional portals. And McGann is like, well, it's better than here. And, like, we don't know where it'll take us. It could take us back to Earth. It could take us... It's supposed to be used on Earth. I don't know what'll happen if I use it on Mars. And it's like, but you know it'll take you to Earth 1, right? And, like, yeah. I mean, I think so. And McGann is like, well, even if we do, like... Wherever it is, we won't be in the middle of a firefight. Open the portal. And so Kara, like, points the thing, opens the portal, and they can't see through the portal, but, like, McGann goes through first, and then they get all the refugees through, and Kara goes through last, or maybe Kara goes through first and McGann goes last. Either way, like... They all get through this portal, and there's the scene from outside the shuttle that, like, the Martians are, like, sneaking up on the shuttle, and they're all set to, like, bomb it and take it, like, destroy it utterly, and they, like, open the door, and they're about to throw canisters, and they're just like, there's nothing there. On the other side of the portal, because the portal is closed on Mars, or on Earth 32. I have no idea what Earth Supergirl is from. I just realized this. I should really, like, make a mental note of that next time I watch that episode. So they end up, like, they open this portal and they walk through and the portal closes behind them and the whole thing happens back on Mars. The other Mars, but now they're on Earth 1 Mars, and yeah, it is Mars. They land on Mars, and they look around, and they're in the same, like, canyon or wherever that they were before, but it's empty. It's like there is no building that they were sheltering in. There's obviously no shuttle. There is no anything. And Supergirl kind of flies up out of the canyon and looks around, and McGann is trying to comfort everybody, and Kara listens, and Kara looks, and there is nothing. And so she comes back, and that's what she reports. She's like, there's no one here. I can't hear anyone else. And they all fly over to where there should be a town, or where they should be able to see a town, and there is nothing. And they spend some time investigating, because, after all, a good portion of Martian, like, civilization is underground, so they find some of the old caves, and they exist, but it's clear that nobody has been there for a really long time. And eventually they find, they find proof of Martian civilization, but it's really old. Or at least, it's old enough that it's clear whatever happened a long time ago. And McGann is is flabbergasted. McGann does not know what to do. But the rest of the refugees are kind of, like, slowly getting more hopeful. They didn't have anything back on the old Mars. But this is a chance at a new start. And they're starting from scratch. Maybe they're not starting completely from scratch, though. There's some things that they can use here, and if they can figure out what happened, they can figure out if it was a disease or if it was the war or whatever, and depending on the history of the tower that Carr was at before, like, maybe it's still there. Maybe it's that old. So she goes back to that tower, and she's like, "Okay, Star Labs, I really hope you're listening." And she sends a message to them, and she's like, "Kara, this is Kara. I'm on Mars. I used your teleporting Earth dimension hop thing, but I used it on Mars. You don't happen to have a shuttle handy. Can you come pick me up?" You know, some weird, like, thing like that. They managed to send back a signal that, like, maybe Sisko can vibe a portal to her if they can get the exact coordinates. And where's the satellite at? We need pictures of Mars and all this crazy stuff. And they do. Sisko manages to vibe a portal for her using satellite images of Mars. And Kara and McGann jump, like, to Earth. The other Martians, at least a few of the other Martians, were like, so there were refugees, and a good number of them were children. But also a good number of them were, like, community leaders and people who had spoken out against the regime and had to go into hiding because of it. So these people know how to run a society, and they know, like, so a good number of them are like, "Hey, we're gonna stay here and try and figure out what happened. We don't want to go to Earth. Thanks. No thanks." So the rest of the refugees stay on Mars, Earth 1 Mars. But McGann and Supergirl head to Earth, and they meet with the Flash team, and they're all like, "Yeah, that was an interesting adventure. You now have Martians. They're gonna stay on Mars. If you could maybe check in on them every once in a while." Or, you know, McGann says she will check in on them every once in a while to make sure they're not starving. Flash is like, "They're friendly? Cool! Nice to have neighbors, I guess." Flash doesn't, you know, Flash is a ray of sunshine like Kara. He's like, "Kara, what are you doing here? Why were you on your Mars? Why, like, you went to Mars? You could have just come here. You don't have to," you know, and they're happy to see each other. And then, like, Kara and McGann, like, Sisko opens a portal for them back to Earth 26 or whatever Earth Supergirl is from, and they walk into the DEO, and the DEO, everyone at the DEO is completely freaking out, because not only has Kara missed her, like, check-in, she's missed the shuttle. Maybe there's word from the Resistance, but it's really cryptic, and they're, like, shuttled down, don't know where they are, nobody knows anything. Jean is, like, this close from just getting on a damn spaceship and going to Mars himself, no matter the risk or, like, his responsibilities on Earth. And then Supergirl and McGann just, like, casually walk in, and they're like, "Hey, guys!" And she's like, hands the Dimension Traveler back to Wynn and goes like, "This was a lifesaver, thank you." And every, like, half the room glares at Wynn because he's like, "You are not supposed to check out that technology from the vault. And he's like, she needed it! You're just like, yes, she really did. I can't... Good job. Don't do it again. And McGann is like, I've got my own now, because of course Sisko set her up with a Martian version of it. Like, okay, this one is locked onto Mars. So that you can, like, poof, future refugees, safe version of Mars. There you go. Just, you know, be careful who you send to the... Don't start a war on our Mars, please. We don't want to deal with that. And she's like, yes, totally understand. We will be careful. But thank you for this. And like, she hangs out for a while, and eventually she goes back to Mars because she has a mission now, and she has a great way to get refugees out of the hot zone. Because, yay, vibing! Dimension hopping. Magic. It's basically magic. Yeah. So that's the story. The end.